Greetings, everyone. It's a gorgeous day here in Sedona. I hope it's wonderful wherever you are. And just remember, it can always be wonderful on the level of the soul, which is where we touch the Holy Spirit, the Christ within, and our Heavenly Creator. It's always a beautiful day above the clouds, whatever the clouds may be, or however they may show up occasionally in your life. And what we hope to do in our blessing today is to bring more light into your world, more healing, more joy, more love, more resolution with your life, which brings greater happiness and hope and resolution in the lives of everyone around you. It's a very contagious thing. I'm so glad you're here. This week I would really love to take some callers that have been wanting to speak in the past, if you're here today, because sometimes we wait too late to bring our callers in. And actually, the best time to bring our callers in is early, because not everybody's on the call yet, and it's a much more appropriate and beneficial time for people to ask questions and share their gains from the blessing, because it sets a direction and a community for our blessing and the blessing message. Remember, we're not just individuals that come to receive the blessing. We're coming as a community. As Jesus said in the New Testament, well, as it was written that he said, and I'm sure he did, whenever two or more of you are joined, I am there also. And so we do join for the beauty and the grace of his presence bringing into our life the Holy Spirit. Now, the way you sign on, please do, is press *6. Wait a moment and then press 1, and that will unmute you, and I will call you into the conference. I don't see any brave souls showing up yet, and I know there were numerous of you wanting to speak last time, so perhaps the moment has... Okay, here we go. Hi, Jackie, and you're on.
Hi, Glenda, this is Jackie.
Yes.
Can you hear me?
I sure can.
Awesome. Well, I've been very much enjoying these blessing calls, and it's just been so amazing. And one thing that I wanted to share when you were talking about just now about bringing your light into the world, I feel like I've really been given this opportunity now to bring my light into the world in a much bigger way. And what I've been running into lately is that there's a part of me that feels, oh my gosh, maybe I'm sharing too much, or maybe people are going to grow bored of me, or maybe I'm creating all these stories about, you know, the fear of being visible and being seen. So this morning I was in a meditation, and I went back and I was really looking at the little girl within me, and what was it that happened to me that made me not wanting to be visible, and you know, what was said. And so I was like going back into particular situations, but just thinking you're being too loud, or you're being too this, or don't do that, and all these things that are said to us as we're when we're children, and not, you know, ill-intended, but things that then stop us as adults to continue to shine our lights, because we're never being what other people want us to be when we're children. So really learning how to heal that aspect of myself and embrace, you know, who I am, and then being the light that I'm called to be in the world.
Jackie, that's wonderful that you're feeling that. And let me say that actually everyone, to varying degrees, has a terror, not just a fear, but a terror of being visible. One of the greatest fears the greatest fears of all is being a public speaker. And it's not because people are afraid that what they say will be rejected. They're afraid of the visibility of being there. The ability to be visible with courage and confidence and tolerance is huge. It's just an enormous step that you've taken with your life, that you can actually be there. And remember this, you can always turn down the volume. You're in control. If you feel that the volume's a little high, or maybe you're imposing yourself a little too much on others, you can always just turn the volume down from 5 to 4 and test it there, and then maybe from 4 to 3. But let me tell you what you're really giving people. They're actually not interested in the content of what you're saying so much as they're looking at you and saying, oh my gosh, she's really standing up. She's being visible. I wonder if I could do that. It's contagious. It's what everybody wants. It's what almost everybody is afraid of. We have to be visible in order to fully claim our sovereignty and our self-confident place in the world. And for the most part, the reason people don't have that is they're not willing to take that step of visibility. And some people might be thinking, well, Glenda, I mean, what are you talking about? You know, people walk around in their bodies. Of course we can see them. Oh, you can see the physical. But can you see the person? That's actually the major theme of our webinar that is opening today, and that is the presence of the soul in your life. So many belief systems, so many religions and philosophies have held the soul to be the invisible part of us that is somewhat disconnected and therefore somewhat blameless or uninfluential or out of command of the physical person who scoots through life, gets snagged in the bushes, falls in the ditches, and is constantly looking for how to do things better. It's amazing the miracle that happens when the soul shows up. And just getting that to happen is an absolutely transformative thing in your life. So here's how you can make your experience better for you and more contagious for others. Is, first of all, just control the volume level, like I mentioned, but also allow your visibility to not just be your personality or the role you play at work or in your family or your humanness, but allow yourself to show up in a quiet, confident way where people know that the greater presence of you has also arrived. This is the secret that has launched the careers of all great leaders. If you notice, every great speaker, whether it's religious or political or motivational, whatever venue, they stand at the table or behind the podium and they pause for a minute and arrive. And then the first few words they speak are really not about the subject at all. It's about their engagement with the audience. They present themselves and then they invite their audience to be there with them in a co-created moment. Once everyone has truly arrived, then they speak. That's a template of behavior that can expose yourself in the best possible way that includes others. If people are ever offended, it's probably because you're coming on too strong and they're still too shy to be able to do what you're doing. So they feel a little overwhelmed. But it's not because you're doing anything bad. They're actually looking at you and wanting to be like you. So keep doing it. Just study the process and perfect it. And then enjoy the results.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Anyone else? Come on, be visible. It's fun. Jump in the waters. I'm looking for you. Well, while I wait for someone to get on, I just want to celebrate my own enthusiasm for beginning this seminar today. It's going to be just fabulous. I've been working on the lesson number one for the last week, and I'm just so thrilled and so thankful that I'll be able to share this information with those of you who are ready to hear it. And actually, after you're in the class, I hope you're here today, I'm going to really hold a personal blessing for this class making such a profound difference in the lives of everyone here. And we still have maybe two or three openings. If you're in the class today and you're really excited about it, tell your friends. Because all of the lessons and the audio are archived. You can download, you can play them, you can read them anytime you want. So it'll be a permanent course in your library. Now we have some people on the line. Hi, Ellie. You're on.
Hello?
Hello, Ellie.
Hi. Hi, Linda. I just have to say thank you. That's the main reason I wanted to come on. I just don't even know how to put in words the gratitude for your teachings and your devotion to the work and to all of us. And that message that you just shared with Jackie was so on point for me. I just can't tell you. So I just want to say how much gratitude I have and how much love you've expanded in my life and for you and Yeshua and everyone. It just had to say that. So thank you.
Oh, that's so sweet. Thank you. That just made my day. Well, you have a wonderful day too. And I'm going to take Desmond's call. Hi, Desmond. You're on.
That was really cute. Hi, Glenda.
Hi.
Hi. Yeah, I was, I came on a call when you were talking about turning on the volume pretty much. And I, had this little girl with me because I have new roommates and I've been playing with them all day, and she was listening to your voice, and her heart just lit up with like total joy and brightness. And it's just so amazing to see how your presence comes through the phone calls. And I mean, I always feel so much synchronicity when you think, and your spirit just touches, I'm sure, every one of us so deeply. So,
ah, well, I'm touched by your presence as well. And of course, operating on the level of the soul, it's so easy to touch and be touched by others, because we arrive at that place of unity where we really are in a state of spiritual community. And your needs flow through me, your interests flow through me, and hopefully in the best way I can, I respond. And it's a joy to be able to do that. It's so much fun. I hope you can also feel the fun that I have doing this. You know, I really, really missed you guys when I was off on my journey to Texas to take my art show. Of course, I was with you, but I really missed being here. I mean, this for me is Yankee Stadium. It's a baseball game. It's fun. I adore touching your lives and then feeling what Yeshua would say and my response and giving back, and I just feel like, take me to the old ball game, because that's where I have my pleasure. And I've had so much pleasure this week preparing this seminar for you. You are going to be thrilled with what you get from this. But Desmond, thank you again. And I'm going to take, we have two more callers, and I think we've got time for everybody today. We have a caller from area code 209.
Hi, Glenda. How are you?
Well, I'm doing great.
Glenda, I had a recent experience that I'm hoping you can shed some light on. I was taking care of a friend's mother, and she was hospitalized. And she was in the hospital for a week and came home, and within 7 days she slid into dementia. And my, and of course, then I started hearing stories of the same, similar situation with other elderly people. And, I was just wondering what happens to the soul. It's like she was disappearing in front of my eyes, and I was just thinking, like, you know, why couldn't she stay connected with our reality? Do you have any insights to that?
Well, I have experience that relates to that,
yeah.
And that is with my mother, my own mother. She was one of the most lucid, creative persons of just overall personal wisdom I've ever known, and she maintained that until about her 90th year. And we began to notice that she had to have someone live with her. At first, we noticed it because she was either not taking her meds, or she was taking them twice, or she was leaving the burner on the stove, and she was not remembering things. And she would call my sister by my name and me by my sister's name and little things like that. And I think what I felt with her is that it was all a process of going home for her. Where it took, she loved this physical earthly life so much she couldn't let go of it. She wanted to be connected, but she also wanted to go home. And she was living then in two worlds. She was living in the physical plane that had relied upon her soul for making connections and making sense out of everything, and yet her soul was wanting to be in another plane. Because I noticed that, well, she was, oh my gosh, she was in her late 80s when I wrote Love Without End. And at first she was too busy with the garden to read it, but when she was she went to a care center, she read it every day, every page. And when we would talk on a soul level, she was as lucid as she ever was. She was like, she was right there. But then she didn't connect with the physical. And then the nurse would come in, and the nurse would talk to her about all kinds of physical things, and friends would come in to visit, and she would call Jimmy Tom and Tom Jimmy, and it became more and more and more that she was living in two worlds. And all I can relate this to would be a reverse side of the womb, where in the womb we're gathering experiences that we're not ready to put together yet. You know, the womb actually absorbs all the sounds and emotions and events that embrace the life of the unborn child. But the child doesn't know what to make of those senses or experiences until the soul arrives at birth. And then the soul snaps in, and in the next few months or maybe 2 or 3 years, starts putting it all together. So there seems to be a necessary union between the soul and the incarnated conscious experience and the data and information that goes with that. And I think the union breaks down at the end much the way it assimilates in the beginning. And I learned to just approach my mother with a great sense of humor. Mm-hmm. And I know that it was actually more frustrating for her than it was for me. And I would just focus upon her soul's level of awareness, and then I would laugh with her on the breakdowns on the physical plane, and we got along just fine.
Yeah,
it seems
yeah.
like understanding these things is the big deal.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think we don't understand the process any more than we yet understand the process of gaining awareness in the womb. I think that's it's a very, very unexplored territory of how human consciousness comes together and prepares itself for birth. Just like disintegrated connections begin to happen anywhere, usually and typically, on the average, it's about 3 years before passing.
Oh. Well, that makes sense, because I thought it was like she was disassociating with reality, and she didn't really want to be touching it anymore. So,
well, there is some of that she doesn't. She wants to move on. But
yeah.
There's part of her that is connected with reality and is trying to cope with the bits and pieces that are left behind.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you very much. I was left with kind of a puzzle after this experience, and then to find so many other people that have also seen that. I was looking for answers online, and like you said, there's been very little research.
That's right.
You know,
and I'm not a doctor, and so I can't be the one to say this is definitely what's going on, but I can give you the benefit of my personal experience and the wisdom I developed around it.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
I hope that helps. And we've got, let's see, okay, we've got a caller from area code 413. And you're on. Frances?
It's Heidi. Thank you so much, Linda. I just wanted to thank you so much and the blessing givers when you were in the hospital or away with the traveling. And these blessing calls have been completely changing me. And there's two huge messages that have come. One is that There came a point with somebody that you talked to that where you quit needing to receive and you need to start giving blessings. It was huge.
Mm-hmm.
And the other was to not identify with the past, to let go and in order to heal. And I'm in process, and still there's physical things that the Yeshua and the universe and God are going to heal, but just thank you so much. I was shy to take up the time to say thank you, but I just did it, so.
Oh, you touched me, and I so appreciate that. I really do. And I like hearing your voice, too. I like knowing the people on our calls. Also, Frances, is it Frances?
No, actually, it comes up as Helen Frances, the phone does, but my name is Heidi, Heidi Bonner.
Oh, Heidi. Okay, Heidi. Thanks for clarifying that. Okay. Well, you actually brought up three things I want to respond to, and that is I would like, again, to thank the blessing givers for not only just covering for me, but for being with me as a team and for doing their own teamwork blessings. Whenever situations arise in the world, there's a blessing giver to offer the blessings of Christ into that healing. You have all made such a difference in this world. When I think about the way things could be, with all the crises that seem to be emerging again every day, all the stalls, all the conflicts, all the ineptitude that we see in our government and in the carrying out of our human community, and yet we get through it. And I know that you are making a huge difference. And another thing Heidi made is there comes a time when you want to offer blessings, and we're going to make that possible next year. Right now, I am still in the midst of a great transitional period in my life, and I thank you all for your prayers and blessings and support and patience with me, that because we're having to move. We have been here in Sedona now for 15 years, and our landlords are wanting to take the property back, so one way or the other we had to move. So we thought, well, if we have to move, let's do it right. Let's find a place that serves all of our needs, where we can be located stably for a long time, and then we can move on with the work. The worst thing that could happen to us is just rent another place and move again every year or two. We've come to the point where we need to be located, we need to be stable, so that the affairs of the world are underneath our feet, providing a good foundation, and yet not interfering with the higher work that we do. We think we've almost made that excellent and correct choice. I ask for your prayers that we do this, and through the fall till about Christmas, that will be what we're handling on our side of the equation. And then next year, all of this being settled out, God willing, we will be offering probably 3 blessing seminars. We want to bring more blessing givers to the world and more opportunities for our existing blessing givers to foster an expanded community and have more and more wonderful experiences together as blessing givers. So 2014 is going to be the year of the expanded blessing on all levels. So expect great things. And the third important thing you said, Heidi, is you didn't want to identify with these problems you're having or with the past. You are so correct. The best way to hold on to anything is to identify with it. When we say, even something as simple as, I'm kind of down with my cold. I'm kind of down with my flu. I've been affected by my depression. I've been affected by my heavy load. The minute you identify with something, you pull it over you like a blanket, and you limit your ability to rise above it and bring a larger perspective about how to resolve it and let go of it, especially items from the past that really should be released. Don't identify with them. You can refer back to the best friends I had in childhood. But try to take that my word out, or the my favorite things as a teenager. But try to let go of it while you're looking at it. Enjoy it for the pleasure it brings you, the memories it brings, or even if you have to review some pain. But don't identify with it. It's not who you are. It was an experience you had. And so you're very, very wise to get beyond the identity level of that. So thank you for giving me an opportunity to respond to everything you brought. I love doing that. And we've got one more caller, area code 404, and you're on.
Glenda, it's Janet from the Atlanta area, and I just wanted to thank you for what you said about the dementia, because my mother's been having these problems, and she's at my brother's house now, and she keeps saying she wants to go home, and she'll get up and start packing her suitcase. And I know, I said she's talking about her spiritual home. I told my brother that recently, and he thinks that now too. She's talking about her spiritual home. She just turned 89. And I just had put that together, but I love the way you worded it. You know, that they're disassociating from one world and getting ready for the next world.
Yes, and it takes a while to say goodbye.
I know it. I'm very comfortable with the other world because I've sort of focused on that a lot, and so I'm comfortable with that. But the transition, you know, seeing her go through this has been hard, and some days she just gets confused, and I'm not with her as much as I'd like to be, because I did live with her for a long time, and then she went to my brother's house, so I don't see her quite as much now. And you know, but it's just been hard. Sometimes I'll talk to her on the phone and can't connect with her and all, but I just really had felt like she was talking about going to her spiritual home the other night. I said, well, what home do you want to go to? Because, you know, we'd lived different places, and she said home to mama. She wants to go back home, you know, to her mother.
Oh, you know, you're right. You're absolutely right. I'm convinced of it. I have seen too many transitional phases. Those of us who don't go out earlier with a heart attack or a stroke or some other accident, falling off a roof and breaking our neck, most people who actually arrive at the end of their life go through a process of the soul separating from the body that is just the reverse process of the soul entering the body at birth. And I think there are goodbyes that need to be said. There are, they need to look at events of their life and look at where they're going, build their confidence on the departure, and be surrounded by people who love them. And, patience, love, and a good sense of humor go a long ways to handling that. I'll tell you a funny story that will, prompt a laugh. My mother, in her, when she was at the care center, it was just a matter of a few months before her, departure. She decided that she wanted to go home. And, there was no one to come pick her up that day or take her on a ride, which is what we would do normally when she wanted to go home. We would just come by, get her, take her out to lunch, be with her for a while. Then she'd be contented, but she wanted to go home so badly. She weighed about, I think, about 85 pounds then, and she crawled through the doggy door. You had to do a punch key to get out. Just because of security. So she crawled through the doggy door in her robe and, house slippers and was walking. She walked for about a mile and, finally when they caught up with her, she said, "Well, I'm going home." So that's how motivated she was to go home.
That is a cute story.
Yeah, so you can think about that and laugh a little bit. I think there's a lot to laugh about, but you know, the thing is, we can't because we're so worried, we're so frustrated, and they so don't resemble the person we knew and loved that it's difficult. But I think we're getting more and more understanding as people study this phase in greater depth, and hopefully we will move toward a more humane support system for people in this latter stage of life. But now we need to go into our blessing. We have used up our time, and thank you so much because you gave me an opportunity to bring inspiration and wisdom from Yeshua that I might not have thought to bring in and that I know is totally relevant to our community today. So I'm going to mute the call, and I would like for all of you to just sit peacefully in your chair, your head pointed up, uncovered, your feet uncovered on the ground, and allow your attention to fall into your heart and just be there in your heart, with your soul, with Christ, receiving the blessings of the Holy Spirit offered by the Creator to help you and everyone in your life have a more blessed connection with our beautiful earth and the person that you truly are. Let this be your prayer. The love that you are is who you are. And contemplate all that love is, and the perfection of that love as your life, as your healing, as the restoration of all pieces that have broken or drifted apart or have caused confusion in your life. Allow your love to be the light of your life, and allow the Holy Spirit to enhance the flame. Dear Yeshua, we thank you so much for being with us, the model of all we can be as children of God, bringing the presence of God into our life as co-creators of a better, more blessed reality. We ask that you give to each of us that which we need and desire. Flame the candle of our love and shower us with your love. Amen. the energetic conveyance of your blessing is complete. Now to receive the rest of your blessing, I want you to rest for 7 minutes at least. Just be in the stillness of your being and allow all that has been given to you to become the nourishment of your body, heart, soul, and being. Be richly blessed and know that you are deeply loved. Bye-bye for now, and I look forward to being with you again next week.